Welcome to Drive Through HR, Brian, William, and Nisha, coming to you every day talking about HR with the people in and around HR that are getting it done. Well, let's get to our guests because it is going to be a great conversation. We did, before I introduce her, our friend Kathy Rapp was supposed to be on today, but had some things going on, which we wish for family the best. Hopefully it's everything will be all right, and we'll get her back on just as soon as we can because of the love talking to her about talent acquisition and it's just her thoughts in the industry. So, Kathy, we will talk to you later. Jody Thompson, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Oh, it's great to be here again. I love hanging out with you guys and talking about HR type stuff.
Well, that is, it is good stuff. Thank you, short notice, for jumping in for Kathy, and appreciate that. If you would, introduce yourself to our millions of listeners, and we'll roll from there.
Excellent. Millions of listeners, that's what I like to hear. So my partner and I, Callie Ressler, we have a website you can visit, GoRow.com. We are the co-authors of Why Managing Sucks and How to Fix It, and our first book, Why Work Sucks and How to Fix It. So we are, I guess you'd call us workplace revolutionaries, really changing the face of what work is going to look like in the future. And I will tell you this, Brian, you and everybody else, it's not about flexibility. Flexibility is old-fashioned. It's the new F word. So we're changing that. We're going to stop talking about flexibility, and we're going to start talking about what's relevant.
Well, that is I'm excited to have you on the show because we haven't talked to you since you and Callie rolled out with a new book, which if you could see it, everybody, I'm holding it right here, by the way. I have it in front of me. I am reading it, and as you know, I think when you autographed it, though, it was a little generic. My feelings were a little bit hurt, but I'm pretty sensitive. That's all right. I'm going to get a new one at some point in the future here. So, but
yeah,
okay, yes, you have to.
Yeah,
I don't want like totally just hits me. I mean, I like break down and cry as soon as I read it. I want it to be that good. So,
well, good. I hope it does make you cry a little bit. Because you know what, the way that we're looking at things out there, everybody's feeling kind of crappy. So we need to change things, like starting today.
Well, and that's a great, that's actually a great jumping off point. So, yeah, I know that you know you've done business with and work with a lot of small companies, big companies, all different sectors. What's kind of the common theme of the companies who are able to transform into more of the results, you know, results only type culture?
Well, there are some common threads, and one of the things we find, no matter what industry you're in, obviously a results only work environment works for every single person, every single company, because it's about one thing, results. It's not a flexible work program. So we don't have to talk about how it doesn't work for retail or how it doesn't work for bus drivers or zookeepers. It works for everybody. So what we're finding is that organizations that are able to begin this transformation, they understand that things are changing so rapidly around us, and the workplace that's still stuck in 1952 has got to change, and they know to get the future talent, to keep the talent they have, and actually, you know, be relevant in the future, they have to move out of this old way of thinking. So they're courageous, they're visionary, they're they have a different kind of moxie in terms of handling change. They know change needs to happen, and they're ready for it, and they welcome it. So that's what we're seeing with organizations that are starting to transform now, really all over the world.
And then kind of flip the script on that. What are some of the similarities that you see? I mean, just places where you have flags of resistance, where you people are just like, it is never going to happen. I mean, just what are some of the things that pop up when you start having conversations that you kind of go to a place of, okay, I've got to get them past this point, or it really is more than I can want to contend with? Or maybe that doesn't happen. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. It happens all the time. But what we've learned, Callie and I, is that if we spend a lot of time on people that are just plain, you know, hands down resistant, it's never going to work, it can't work here, we know that they're in a place that they're just, they're not going to be open to hearing this kind of idea, and we need to spend our time with people who are able to start thinking about something different. And it's interesting because the people that have a lot of resistance, we see, you know, a big need to control and also feeling not very confident about the results they're trying to achieve. So are people really clear about what they're supposed to be doing and how to measure success? You know, if you're a manager and you're not really clear about that with people, then you feel nervous about them, you know, running chaotically around and you know, working from other locations. You just don't feel good about it. You don't know if work is actually happening. So if you're not clear about measurable results with people and hold people accountable to that, you're not comfortable with this kind of environment. It's much easier to have everybody's butt in their chairs, all sitting around you, the king or queen of the team, and make them, you know, come in and look like they're working all day. That feels more comfortable.
Sure. And so I know that there's, of late, there has been some fairly decent-sized companies who have did a complete about face. And their answer to their problems, so they call them challenges, I call them problems, with their business model and their delivery and everything is the fact they're bringing everybody back in. They're going totally into, let's move away from the autonomy component of it and kind of get everybody locked down again into the, you know, we got to see you. You got to come in every single day. That's the answer. Thoughts on that? Why does that happen?
Yeah, it's crazy. I think when organizations start to feel, like you say, challenged, they're kind of losing their grip, maybe the business isn't going well, they feel like if they get all hands on deck, then magically, you know, something's going to happen. They say things like, well, in order to collaborate more effectively, we need to all be in the same place at the same time, which, you know, in this day and age, it's so ridiculous, it's laughable. And so I feel that organizations that are pulling all hands on deck really clearly do not know how to get everyone on point. And in this, in 21st century here, getting people on point is what we need to do. It's not about where you're working from. It's not about some silly label like telework or remote worker or, you know, home-based worker, any of those silly labels we put on people. It's about, you know, what is the work? Help me understand clearly what the measure is of success, and then I go do that. And it's not about, you know, telling me that I can't collaborate if I'm, you know, not in an office with people, you know, looking at me face to face. It's just, it's laughable and it's old fashioned.
So do you think that do you think the biggest single issue with that is the fact that they just don't have a cohesive kind of mission that everybody is aligned to?
Well, I think sometimes they have a mission, but it's funny what happens after that. It's, we might all have a mission, or we might understand the mission, or we might see the mission, but day to day, what are we really doing that's affecting it in a measurable way? I think that's where things get lost. You know, we hear people all the time say, well, you know, I'm a thinker, I'm a knowledge worker, or I'm a creative, and you really can't measure my work. I mean, that's a load of crap. If you have a job and you're getting paid money to do a job, then everybody has to figure out how you're impacting that mission. What am I doing on a daily basis that's actually making a difference? Because, I mean, that's why we're paying people, right? I think we've gotten in this sort of complacent place where as long as people put in their time and show up, then they get a paycheck. Well, in the future, it's going to not be about showing up and putting in time. It's going to be about what are you adding, what are you delivering that's actually making a difference in terms of what we're trying to do as an organization. I mean, that's the whole outcome-based thinking model. We can do stuff every day. We can do a lot of activities and look busy and get stuff done, but is it really actually impacting anything? And that's what we have to figure out, each one of us, in the jobs that we have. How are we measurably impacting the outcome or mission of the organization? And everybody can do it. We hear all the time, can't do it, can't do it, can't do it. But with the clients we work with, we do it.
Well, and, you know, the interesting thing is the fact that we have all been at the sidelines. If you've been, even don't have to be at a management level, but if you're sitting there and you're self-aware in some kind of corporate role, you have been there where you know for a fact that it's all activity, right? People are like, they're literally starting fires just so there's lots of smoke so that at the end of the day, there's really no, the performance really isn't clearly identified on what the performance metrics really are, like how are people going to be measured, how are you going to hold people accountable, how does that map into personal responsibility, you know, all those things, and just productivity and, you know, kind of a productivity kind of culture in general. We have all been in those roles where you can look around going, man, that all it is activity. There is nothing getting done with that. And then you kind of just pick your battles and say, I've got my own stuff to worry about. I got my own team to worry about. I don't need to fix everybody else, you know, that I can help at this point other than making a suggestion. And if they don't listen to it, so be it, right?
Well, yeah. Think about it. If you have to sit there all day, I mean, if you're forced, you have somebody controlling your time and they're telling you like you're a child, you have to be here at 8 and you can't leave until 5 like you're in jail. Then you're sitting there all day, right? Well, you got to do something. So you attend a lot of meetings that, you know, are going nowhere. You say that you waste most of your time in unproductive meetings. You, like you say, you start a few fires to entertain yourself. You know, what are you going to do? And I think it's sad that we're treating people that way and still in that mindset that we have to control people's time. You know, when you're not controlling people's time and they own their own time, they're completely autonomous, then you have the opportunity for 100% accountability because that's all that's left. I'm not controlling your time anymore. I'm not controlling your schedule, but I'm paying you for something, so let's figure out the accountability then to that piece. And it's interesting how people become very intrinsically motivated in that type of environment. I feel like an adult, I act like an adult, you treat me like an adult, and I can show you measurable results. And really, that's what we're going for. It's that 100% autonomy and 100% accountability. Not, I'll tell you if, you know, you can leave early, and if I don't like you today, no. It's ridiculous.
Do you, kind of stay with that same stream of consciousness, do you feel that It's kind of that cycle that you literally have to break, right? At some point, you need to actually find people who can come in and be accountable, right? Do the work, you know, have the competencies, do the work, have the capability to learn, all those things. But at the end of the day, need to be able to step up to the plate and be accountable because that's pretty different than a lot of the corporate environments. And it takes people, usually what I've seen, because I've always, thank goodness, I've just always sort of managed that way, where do not come and ask me time, don't come and ask me a million questions just because you're too lazy to either, one, look up the information, or two, take a little risk because, you know, we've got an environment here of all my teams, we've always had an environment of, because you make a mistake, that's not a problem. It's ultimately like, why did you make the mistake? Think through how you're not going to make it again. Think us all through how this is going to be better, right? So men have always done that. And do it on your own time. You don't need to come and ask me if you can, you know, if you can go to the bathroom or you need to go pick your child up or you want to jump out and go have lunch with a friend or whatever. Just do your work. And, you know, we're all adults here, and you're getting paid a salary, and you have benefits, and you contribute hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars, right, to the organization. I think you can make that decision. But at the end of the day, some people, I mean, I've been around people that just, they cannot migrate to that. So how do we break that cycle? Because that's pretty much, most companies are that way, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, they are. You know, we're not good at holding people accountable to results. What we're good at holding people accountable to is the clock. That's what's getting in the way. It's that time plus physical presence issue. And people, it's funny because we build everything around that. So if I stay till 6 at night and I come in at 6 in the morning, I look dedicated. I look like I'm really, you know, focused in and my priorities are straight because work, it's all about work, right? So people are playing that time game every day. And what we've done is we've taken time completely out of the equation. You know, there's a lot of chatter. If you listen at your workplaces, you'll hear a lot of people chattering about time, what time people come in, what time people leave, how many hours they work, you know, who gets a day off, who gets to work from home. There's just all this stuff, and we call it sludge. And I know you've read about that in the book, but it's, you know, geez, I wish, you know, I wish I could leave early like Jill does. Or how come Brian let, you know, Mary work from home on Friday? I've been asking for that work from home, you know, thing for the last 5 years. And people are talking about that crap. It's all about time. Plus, if you come to me and you say, hey, you know what, we're falling behind on something, you know, we've got this other project coming in, I can say to you, hey, I worked 60 hours last week, Brian. I can't put any more time. So we're all focused on the time thing and using that as our currency of work. And so we have a strategy in our training that we do to break that cycle of focusing on time, and we break that sludge, that toxic language that's really very subjective and not objective and not about the work. So we break that. People start to think differently about what they're focused on. They get much clearer about measurable results, and that's what becomes the measure of work. Measurable results, not my accountability to the clock. It's amazing. It's extremely liberating. You might think, well, that's really great for people, but what about business? Well, come on. It's great for business because now all of a sudden your workplace has become a workforce of people who are focused on what matters, not all that other crap like, can I leave early today, Brian? I mean, seriously, are we children? So we break that cycle in training.
Well, that is awesome. Let me do a quick reset. Everybody listening to Drive Through HR, it's Brian talking with Jody Thompson, author, speaker, consultant, workforce, workplace, revolutionary. I love that title. So I've got a funny story for you. It popped into my head. I haven't thought about this in probably 15 years. So a long time ago, I had a manager that was the ultimate micromanager, and it was a control thing, right? That was literally the, you know, he definitely wasn't that smart, and he wasn't that, you know, wasn't that dumb, but he didn't work hard, and so there was a lot of things going on with that, and so he was so concerned about everybody's commitment, and so he was the complete polar opposite of what you talk about in everything you do with Roe. Right, completely
yep.
Polar opposite, threatened, would just count. It just was completely counterintuitive to his DNA, and so and it drove me up a wall to the point that I'm like, I've got to gain the game, or I'm going to choke him, or I need to quit. One of the three. So, and I get bored, like you said, you get bored, and so you start doing things. So what I did for like a couple months is I would set my alarm. This is so funny. In my mind, it's funny anyway. So I would set my alarm for like 3 o'clock in the morning, right, 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I would get up and I would send several emails to him. And over time, he's like, man, you were working around the clock. And I'm like, oh, you know, the sales thing, it's bugging me. And I, you know, I hear you on commitment. And I literally, he thought I was, and all of a sudden, I was like the biggest rock star in the whole world. He totally got off my ass about everything, and, you know, because, and nothing changed. I mean, we were doing well on every other aspect of it, except the fact that he thought that I was way too fluid in how I managed my time and my day, right? So I literally, for a long time there, I just remember, this was when I was on the West Coast, I used to send those emails, like literally set my alarm and get up at 2:30 and send a few emails and different times and stuff, like in the middle of the night, and then go back to bed. And it was hilarious. Because he just was like, oh, it's crazy. You got to take it easy. You're going to burn out. So I'm like, I know. Anyway, my friend.
Oh, you know what, Brian? Everybody's doing that. Everybody's gaming because time is that currency. And it's so funny because I'm hearing you saying, yeah, you know, get up at 2 and send out an email. But, you know, now our email programs, you can actually schedule when your email goes out. So now you
know.
You can make your emails all ready and go to sleep, and they just go out at 1 and at 3 and at 5, and boy, do you ever look like a dedicated worker. But isn't that sad? Because what managers are looking at is they're looking at subjective measures of people's commitment. It's subjective. It doesn't mean that you're actually getting anything done necessarily, but you look dedicated. It's so sad.
Well, and that's where, and I'd love to get your take on this is, don't you really think that at the end of the day, the generational issues are all about that? You're moving into, let me be ultra productive in the time that I'm working on a project. If you don't fill my day with things to do, I'm going to get it all done, knock it out, be available if you need something else, and then I'm going to fill my day with other stuff that I have an interest on. And I think that's where you get into the perceived lack of commitment and lack of productivity and the whole style challenge with Gen Y is the fact that they're really fast processors and they're getting shit done. And then they're going over and doing other stuff to kind of keep, you know, just to occupy their mind and their time. I personally feel that. Like I said, my opinion.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree. You know what's funny, Brian? I heard somebody, well, I hear this all the time, people say, you know, that next generation, those Gen Y, they don't have the same work ethic. And I look at them like, are you kidding me? If you want to plan something, you have to have 10 meetings, you know, and take, you know, spend hundreds of dollars wasting people's time. And if the next generation wants to get something done, they have it done in 5 minutes because they move information along. They make decisions quickly. They're used to having a lot of things coming at them all at once. And like you said, they go about their day, and they're doing a lot of different things, but they get it done. And to say that they don't have work ethic, yeah, they're not going to sit in an office all day like we did and display presenteeism. They're not going to just hang around the water cooler all day. Their water cooler is, you know, virtual. And it just angers me when people say that they don't have work ethic. No, they don't work like we did back in the Stone Ages. You know, the society's evolving, things are evolving. It's we can fight it or move with it. But that next generation is really gonna move the dial, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that's I'm same thing. It does. I think it's you know, to use a very dated term, you know, it's complete cop-out. I never use that term because that irritated me when it was popular, but it's just that it's an easy way out to say, oh, it's, you know, that's, I can look at that and this is how it happens and stuff, which I think is complete bullshit. And again, I'm less open-minded to listen to why that isn't the case because I just don't believe it. So that's my non-open-minded portion of what I believe on the workforce there. So, yeah, tough. That's my opinion.
I was actually at this event, and I was sitting next to somebody that was working for me at the time, and she was in that, you know, quote-unquote Gen Y, and the person, one of the people up on the panel was, you know, from the boomer population and somebody high up in the company, and she said, yeah, you know, that generation, and you really have to talk to them about what work is and work ethic and all that. And I could feel her next to me, you know, like coming out of her chair. And I'm just like, hey, calm down, right? And afterwards, she just went up to this person and she said, you have to really watch what you say. You're judging a whole generation. And I take offense at that, she said. So you have to really be careful about that. And I think if you look at work in terms of measurable results, you're going to level the playing field. It's not about if you're a boomer, a traditionalist, or Gen X or Gen Y. we're all going to be on the same level playing field if we focus on measurable results and not time and place and who can look more dedicated, like you, Brian, sending out your emails in the middle of the night. You know, it's like, it's so irrelevant. That stuff is so irrelevant. We have to level the playing field and make it about one thing, and that's, are we getting the work done and are we creating measurable results?
Yeah, and by the way, for all the listeners, was the single most, the highest performing financial area in the history of that company was the group that I was over at that time. I was getting shit about that. So just to let you know, just telling you. And two of those managers now run, billion-dollar organizations and were phenomenal. All the rest we had to get rid of because they kind of sucked. But different deal. So let's switch topics here. Great conversation, by the way, real quick. So you're an author, you're a speaker, you and Callie both, and I know that you have a gig coming up here in June. I just want to talk a little bit that I think is really cool up in Canada, if you don't mind, with your workplace conference 2013.
That's going to be a fun event. I'm really excited about that.
And I'll come clean. I had no idea where Kingston, Ontario was, and so I actually had to look it up. And it's a really interesting, folks. If you've never heard of it, they're very much oriented on and have been for 15 plus years with first a magazine and then conferences. And I'm probably not doing it justice, but they literally are focused on a more results-oriented work environment, fulfilling work, and literally not doing it just to do it. And they've got a group of people that are very dedicated. It's 300-plus usually attend the conference. And so if you get a chance, you can go to yourworkplace.ca. Great folks up there. Vera, I'm sure the executive director would appreciate the traffic. Take a look at that. So yourworkplace.ca, and I know they are very excited to have you up there. Where are some of the other places you're going to be in the next few months?
Well, I think people should check out
All good.
Yeah, that's a tough one, WBOLS.com. It's kind of a cool thing. It's lots of great speakers at that conference. It's a virtual conference, so you can listen to us by just signing up for a session. And I think it's going to be interesting. There's people, really from all over the globe that attend this conference. It's great because you can grab a session just kind of in the middle of the day, and you don't have to travel and do that whole schlepping around thing. So it's a great conference, WBOLS.com. I would have people check that one out as well.
Well, fantastic. Everybody, connect if you get a chance at Jody Rowe, JODYROWE. Connect with Jody Thompson. Great, Go Rowe's their website. Jody, again, thank you so much for coming on. Love talking to you. Always learn something. And I always remember something. You evoke some memories from the past, and that was a really good one, which, again, is hilarious. So thank you for doing that. And, folks, guess what? That was a quick 30 minutes. We are going to roll on out. Have a good rest of the day, and we're out of here.